Transition focus to the supply aspect. The Republican Party, once known for championing individual rights and responsible money management, has shifted its stance on budgeting over time. While it originally stood for fiscal prudence since its founding in the 1850s, it gradually moved away from prioritizing balanced federal budgets. Instead, it began seeing deficit spending as a way to stimulate the economy. Ronald Reagan introduced supply-side policies, using tax cuts and increased spending to tackle economic issues like stagflation. However, this quick fix led to a pattern of excessive spending. Reagan ended up spending more money than even Roosevelt did during World War II. This growing federal debt started affecting things like currency exchange rates and stock market performance. The era of Bush tax cuts and economic challenges. In the early 2000s, the Republican Party took a new stance on taxes, favoring cuts over traditional policies. When George W. Bush took office in 2001 with the Republican-led Congress, the nation faced economic turmoil. The once promising budget surplus of $5.6 trillion dwindled due to recession, the dot-com bubble burst, and the 9/11 terrorist attacks. To stimulate the economy, two major tax cuts were implemented in 2001 and 2002, exacerbating the deficit. Despite initial plans to address Social Security and Medicare, President Bush redirected focus to the war in Iraq and national security measures. In 2003, instead of addressing economic concerns, Bush pursued another tax cut package. Despite warnings from experts, Congress passed a Medicare prescription drug program, aimed more at political maneuvering than solving healthcare issues. This program, providing benefits to millions, further strained the budget. Throughout this period, economic policies and political strategies overshadowed fiscal responsibility, leaving a legacy of increased national debt and contentious debates over government spending. The fiscal challenge ahead. The Congressional Budget Office, CBO, estimated that a bill would cost $400 billion over the next decade. However, recent figures show it's $535 billion. As more benefits are added, costs could skyrocket to over $2 trillion. By January 2004, due to new spending and tax cuts, the deficit projection increased to $6 trillion, averaging $600 billion annually for 10 years. Advisors to President Bush pushed for tax cuts without disclosing the full revenue loss. They included sunset provisions and tax cuts to ease passage through Congress. To fund the Iraq War, Bush raised military spending without raising taxes, effectively burdening future generations who will pay the equivalent of 25% to 40% of their incomes to keep Social Security and Medicare solvent. To tackle the looming crisis and balance the budget by 2014, projections suggest increasing corporate and individual income taxes by 38% or reducing Social Security and Medicare benefits by 55%. Balancing by 2030 would require doubling payroll taxes and increasing individual taxes by 50%. Alternatively, cutting defense spending, Social Security, and Medicare benefits by 50% could achieve balance. Republican fiscal policy under Bush administration. Maintaining party unity is crucial for Republicans with control of the White House and Congress. Anti-tax activists within the GOP make it tough for any Republican advocating tax hikes, pressuring them to stick to tax reduction at all costs. The Budget Enforcement Act, which required spending cuts to match tax hikes, was allowed to expire by the Bush administration. Despite public pledges to cut taxes, Republicans have been boosting federal spending. During Bush's initial 3 years in office, spending increased by 7% annually, excluding homeland security costs, largely on special interest projects. The 2004 Omnibus Appropriations Bill was stuffed with 7,900 spending items for lawmakers' districts. While pork barrel spending is nothing new, every president can veto bills. Surprisingly, Bush never vetoed a single one. Deficits matter due to their impact. Federal agencies and private think tanks from all sides of the political spectrum are sounding the alarm. If we don't act, by 2030, the money needed for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other government retirement plans will eat up every dollar the government collects in taxes. These ever-growing programs, with benefits that adjust to keep up with the cost of living, are discouraging people from saving money. This leads to ongoing deficits and higher interest rates, which make it harder for businesses to invest and for the economy to grow in the long run. Large deficits lead to higher and faster rising interest rates. Non-U.S. investors' strong savings habits are currently keeping interest rates down, but this can't last forever. When their savings decline, interest rates will inevitably go up. Alternatively, Americans could start saving more, which would boost domestic investment. Economists and historians agree that a nation can only maintain its standard of living if its citizens save and invest, while national leaders must prioritize fiscal responsibility, avoiding large public debts. Big deficits reduce the national savings rate. Federal deficit spending eats into savings rates outside the federal sector, affecting state and local governments, businesses, and households. To make matters worse, household savings are dropping, and non-federal spending deficits, especially in places like California, are growing. Suppose we don't fix this deficit gap. In that case, Americans will either leave the burden for our kids to deal with later, with higher taxes or a lower quality of life, or make the elderly suffer by cutting their benefits drastically. Unavoidable shifts in population makeup. Compelling numbers show why we need to control how much money the government spends. People are living longer, healthcare costs are going up, and fewer babies are being born. This means there'll be fewer people paying into programs that help more and more people. This puts a big strain on government budgets. Also, because there are fewer young people compared to older folks, it's harder to protect the country from threats. It's not about politics but about the changes in our population. Countries like Japan, France, and Italy are finding it tough to support their older citizens and keep up with military needs because they have fewer young people to help out. The deficit, caused by factors like the war on terrorism and the aging population, is a big issue. It's worsened by America constantly borrowing money. This creates what's called the current account deficit, which lowers domestic savings, hikes up the federal debt, and makes the U.S. dependent on other countries for loans. If interest rates go up, foreign investors might ditch their U.S. investments, like bonds or real estate. If other countries think the U.S. can't handle its deficit, they might not want to invest in it anymore. That could lead to the dollar losing value, people losing confidence in the economy, and even a worldwide recession if investors switch to other currencies like the yen or euro. Who's accountable? Neither party is innocent when it comes to splurging public funds on lavish entitlements. Back in 1972, Democrats kicked off the trend by passing hefty Social Security increases, which Republican President Richard Nixon didn't even question before signing off on them. Today's Democratic Party still sticks to the blueprint laid out by President Franklin Roosevelt in 1953 with his Social Security program. Roosevelt pitched it as a safety net, using terms like trust fund, savings, and contributors. But in reality, it was more like taxing the younger generation to fund benefits for the older ones. In the early 1950s, people started spending more money, and it became a big deal. This happened because the country was getting richer, so the government started giving out more benefits like disability insurance and medical coverage. These benefits became important for middle-class families. Then, in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson introduced the Great Society Plan, which included a program called Medicare. He promised doctors that they wouldn't have too many restrictions on how much they could charge. Johnson said Medicare would only cost $500 million, which seemed manageable at the time. But now, it costs $294 billion every year, way more than anyone expected. Runaway spending. From 1974 to 2003, Congress didn't fix the budget deficit. Both parties tried but failed because of politics and pressure from special interest groups. In 2003, Republicans gave in to demands for more entitlements by proposing a bigger Medicare plan. Democrats, surprised, said it wasn't big enough. President Bush agreed and signed the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act in December 2003, adding $400 billion in spending over the next decade. But soon, the Office of Management and Budget said it would cost $535 billion. The White House later admitted they knew the initial budget was wrong but kept it quiet to silence critics. During the 2003 session, Medicare became the biggest unpaid bill the country faced. The new Medicare plan added another $8 trillion in liabilities over 75 years without cutting other entitlements. Identify errors succinctly to understand. Beginning with Reagan, Republicans initiated tax cuts alongside an expansion of government expenditures, shifting towards user fees and taxes on salaries and sales, thereby increasing the financial burden on middle and lower class families. Despite advocating for reducing government programs, they failed to enact substantial cuts. Bush Sr. attempted to uphold Reagan's policies with a No New Taxes pledge, which he later rescinded due to dire warnings from the Congressional Budget Office regarding imminent deficits. When Democratic President Bill Clinton proposed a deficit reduction package in 1993, not a single Republican in Congress supported any aspect of it. In response, Republicans unveiled an ambitious deficit reduction plan. However, with the primary aim of embarrassing Clinton and the Democrats, this plan included a $350 billion tax cut. A faction of radical Republicans gained prominence, advocating for deficits as beneficial tools to limit the size of the government. They lauded offshore tax havens and tax evaders as patriotic acts. Despite warnings from government watchdog groups, George W. Bush persisted in implementing annual tax cuts throughout his presidency. Restore America's direction efficiently. To stop future generations from being burdened by massive debts, today's leaders must 1. Teach politicians about this issue so they can inform voters. 2. Urge young people to get involved in politics. 3. Influence public opinion against overspending and endless entitlement programs. 4. Shift community attitudes to understand that nothing is truly free. The U.S. is in a tough spot with its tax breaks and spending habits. It's like taking bitter medicine to fix it. But we can't keep going like this, especially with more and more older folks retiring. To save our future, we need to control how much we spend on entitlements by balancing the budget. We should also make long-term budget plans and stop letting politics get in the way. It's time to get serious about fixing things before it's too late. Key points 1. Balancing budgets requires cutting excessive spending and limiting reliance on tax cuts to solve economic problems. 2. High deficits and uncontrolled debt increase the risks of economic downturns and global financial instability. 3. Rising healthcare and retirement costs strain budgets as populations age and savings decline. 4. Tax cuts and expanded entitlements often prioritize short-term gains over long-term fiscal responsibility. 5. Large deficits reduce savings, raise interest rates, and weaken future investment opportunities. 6. Effective budgeting demands educating leaders and the public about the cost of unchecked spending. 7. Sustainable policies require balancing immediate needs with careful long-term planning.